Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm fully paying attention this time.
All right.
I'm Chris. Hi. sorry about last week, you guys. But apparently, in my halfway paying attention, Joel has angered the Trash of Ring Attire guys.
Yeah.
And I halfway remember what we talked about. Like, I know it was Brock and Goldberg.
So
what did you get us into, Joel? And maybe rehash a little bit so that our listeners who may not have listened last week or halfway listened last week could know exactly what's going on.
Doing it for the listeners.
Yes, doing it for the listeners.
I like this like response to each other, but only on our own podcast, so you have to listen to both podcasts to keep up with the whole.
It's called cross promotion.
Of course.
Nobody, we're their bosses.
Nobody like, comes
this
on.
Is our, this is our strategy.
So,
don't break our Ring Attire kayfabe.
For those who haven't listened yet, there's a new Trashy Ring Attire that came out earlier this week where they discuss largely Brock and Goldberg, that whole thing that's happening.
Some would call it a feud, but go on.
Feud's a very strong word for what's happening right here.
Fair enough. They've yet to appear at the same time.
Yes. So, yeah. I said some things about Goldberg, namely that he should win Survivor Series.
Okay.
That...
Why would you say that?
The Trash Ring Attire guys disagreed with.
Right.
They
may... Okay. From what I gather from listening to them, they mainly disagreed with who we thought should win the match.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not Goldberg's promo when he came back was enough to, like, kind of get you involved in, like, emotionally invested in the feud.
Yes.
We said that we liked the promo.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's doing it for his kid, which they also said that was, you know, a good thing. And it's, you know, starkly different from the Goldberg that we're used to seeing on wrestling television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy, like I said last week, the guy that always acts like he's too cool for the room.
Yeah.
We didn't get that guy. We got the guy who wants to see his, or his, have his kid see him wrestle, you know.
We got a very nice blend, I felt.
Yeah, because we got a little bit of the crazy-eyed Goldberg, especially when he was concentrating on Braun.
Blending is very risky, because, sure. And I think the best example is when The Rock came back the first time, he takes off the glasses, he's like, I gotta be Dwayne for a second. And he gives this very heartfelt thing, and then he puts on the glasses, and he's 100% The Rock.
Yeah.
But then we have this weird blend of, you know, old school, you know, not disrespecting guy mixed in with the here for the fans and gee shucks thing, which is how we get catchphrase bingo with The Rock.
Right.
So Goldberg's done it good so far. Goldberg's had one promo. Like, I don't know
if we can
hold that up, so.
And again, I'm not expecting a wrestling masterpiece between these two. We know how spotty Brock can be, depending on who his opponent is, and he doesn't have a good track record with Goldberg.
So let me defend myself slash better explain myself.
Okay,
because right. I'm not...
So I got lumped in here, too, because I basically agreed with you, which is kind of my thing. I'm a very agreeable person.
I'm a very convincing person face to face.
I have my convincing moments like once every like 10 podcasts.
I basically said that I see no booking advantage going forward with Brock winning. To which the counter argument is, what's the booking advantage going forward of Goldberg winning? I don't have one. But,
okay.
On the other side, you don't either. Right. Both of us so far have said,
basically you're saying we don't see the advantage of having X person win.
Yes, and we just chose a different person to fill in the X.
Right. okay.
Because of that,
uh-huh.
Like, that would theoretically make this match a bad idea.
You can't come up with advantage of either person winning.
Yes.
Why didn't you say this last week? That's amazing. And completely 100% valid.
So, well, The thing is, I still don't feel like this match is a bad idea. It's a money match, and I get that, and et cetera, et cetera. But there is no where do you go from here, as far as I can tell. Because I don't have – I tried to come up with a reason why Goldberg should win and Brock should lose. And that is – and I'll stand by. Brock has not been – Brock has not had a story since almost ever. Maybe since Triple H. Like, he's been right. the bad guy in another person's story.
And everything else has usually been, like, you know, he wasn't even really involved in the Punk feud because that was between Punk and Heyman.
That's him and Heyman. He's just the avatar for that.
And everything else was mostly involved around the championship or WWE's, like, Brock's going to come back and fight X person. Like,
right.
Like Big Show or Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Not really any sort of storyline. It's just a match.
Brock has been the final boss
right.
for other people's stories. Mm-hmm. Save for that one episode after WrestleMania where Brock wants his rematch now.
Right.
That was awesome. Brock's got a storyline. Brock's mad and he's going to... No, he's gone. And by the time he comes back, he's just...
focusing on something else.
Yeah, he's the same thing. He's the bad guy for somebody else's story.
Okay.
So that was me reaching for, well, if Brock has a loss, has a good, clean loss, then there's something for him to kickstart a Brock-based storyline with.
But at the same time, one of their arguments was, you know, they've been building Brock to be this unbeat, and, you know, and even if he does get beat, it's usually with some sort of, you know, dusty finish or some sort of shenanigans that's gone on. They're still waiting for, like, that one person to get that full push of this guy defeated Brock Lesnar, and no, it shouldn't go to Goldberg. You know?
Yeah. Well,
and that's their reasoning. I think Q is the one that mainly brought that up.
Yeah, the storyline I'm proposing is not wrestling gold waiting to happen.
No, it's like trying to find a reasonable light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
we can all kind of have a decent taste in our mouth afterwards.
It's like, okay, well, if you're going to do this, let's try this.
Okay.
And if that's not your cup of tea, all right,
I'm
not going to bat for that.
Sure.
I'm just throwing it out.
And it mainly stems from this weird idea that this is happening at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, like, the base of, you know, you putting that together, this whole booking thing, is this has to lead to, like, a WrestleMania match, right? Like, it you know, just trying to put your brain inside of what WWE is trying to operate, which is a dangerous situation. And so that's basically where it stemmed, because I think I was the one that kind of brought that up. Like, how do they get to WrestleMania from here?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my fault. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking like they are. They're kind of like morbidly looking forward to seeing how the fans react to it, because I'm curious to see if it'll resemble anything to WrestleMania 20. I don't think it'll be as violently against both guys right out the gate as WrestleMania 20 was.
Blair took some issue with my predictions on fans.
Okay. Remind me, because I only listened to their podcast once, so, like, a lot of things are kind of blending together.
So, well, and some of it was that, and some of it was the thread we have coordinating stuff amongst the four of us.
Talking about the promo that Paul Heyman does, and that Paul Heyman dropped a giant deuce when it comes to that promo. And that's so very rare that we just don't know we don't know how to process that.
Well, it was a bad promo, and it was something where you're like, alright, so it was why is Paul Heyman trying to make us think he did a bad, like, alright, we gotta figure it out, because we know Paul Heyman's...
And clearly, I honestly think that they had planned for one thing, the fans kind of took it a different way. I think WWE honestly was underestimating the hometown crowd.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. A little bit of, well, yeah, they're obviously going to cheer against the guy that isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Especially if the guy who is there is in his hometown. It's fine.
I think, my official position on the fans, they're going to cheer for the guy that's in the ring until they both face down.
Right. Like, then they'll, you know, figure out something.
And it will probably...
Maybe they'll crap on it, because, again, it's not going to be a good match.
Yeah. The crowd's really... They should be going for a 50-50 split. So this trying to get booze for one of them is weird.
Yeah, I don't understand why they were so... Because clearly they were trying to get booze for Lesnar in that promo this past Monday.
Yeah.
And again, other than, I don't know, bashing Randy's head in, he hasn't really, you know, done or said anything overly heelish.
No.
I can't remember if he... Did he give an F5 to Shane, or did he just walk away? I can't remember what happened after.
Brock!
I just remember he beat Randy's skull in. I don't remember exactly what happened after that.
Brock has gone a little too far sometimes in his aggression. But other than that, has not done a heel tactic since he walked back into the company in 2012.
So this whole fixation of them trying to book him as a heel for this match in particular, mm-hmm. and maybe a little bit for Randy before, with the vignettes and the way that they had Goldberg do his opening promo, clearly they're trying to make him as the big good guy here.
Yeah.
So they succeeded with that mostly to the help of the return pop,
mm-hmm.
and you know the initial like hooray. Brock, it's going to be a little bit more difficult, especially like they should have known better, especially in Minnesota. Like they should have known better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not defending that whatsoever.
Well, I mean, one of the comments I made was like, Minnesota considers themselves Brock's hometown.
Right.
Canada considers themselves Brock's hometown.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's like, I don't know how wide. How knowledgeable the Toronto fans are going to be of that, other than the fact that he had like a little Toronto tag on his UFC return,
yeah.
And I think he might have mentioned it on Stumble's podcast. But other than that, they don't really.
There's also like
they don't bill him from
three
Canada.
Or four other crowds that consider Brock their hometown. Like,
yeah,
and that's not a Brock unique thing. Like there are a couple of guys who are like.
It's like how Rock like claims Miami all day, and then WrestleMania 31, he's talking about how he's a Bay Area boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, if it's like, we're close to Boston, hooray, John Cena.
Right. It's like, where's this Newberry, whatever, Massachusetts? Like, it's Boston-esque. It's in Massachusetts, so yeah, it's close enough.
Like, basically, CM Punk is Chicago and nothing else. But there's not a whole lot of people... that are this place and nothing else.
Right.
I think there will probably be about a 60-40 split. Probably a little more for Brock than Goldberg.
Rightfully so, I think. Yeah.
And I think that's just because that Brock has been around more. However, Heather has students who are 13 years old who are very excited for Goldberg. Which totally caught me off guard. I would not have expected that.
And maybe a little, because, you know, we talked about it a little bit before the podcast. Maybe a little bit is because maybe, like, that kid's dad built up Brock, or built up Goldberg a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the kid, like, is already, like, coming in with that expectation. Like, oh, I've been told that this guy's awesome and probably watched a couple things on the network, you know, that my dad's shown me or whatever. So mm-hmm. I'm believing this guy's awesome. You know, it might be a little bit of that.
Yeah, and you know, you can argue on their side, like, 13-year-old can't comprehend that Brock's or Goldberg's 12 years older and probably can't do what he once did.
And he's a lot leaner than he used to be.
But my big fear was like, we're gonna have this 12-year knowledge vacuum of like anybody who became a fan
and again,
in this huge chunk of time.
Goldberg has done zero wrestling in those 12 years. Yeah, I mean, Brock hasn't done a lot, but he's done UFC and he's done, you know...
Brock has been a public zeitgeist name.
Sure.
And, I mean, Goldberg hasn't.
Yeah.
Just flat out hasn't.
And again, I understand why, you know, first thing he goes after is Brock Lesnar. Especially, you know, because the trashy guys nailed it right on the head. This is to show off some video games.
Oh, it totally is. Totally.
And again, I also understand what they're saying. Like, why is this the match that they're clamoring for when they could have easily done Undertaker Sting a couple years ago or last year or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. You know, you take the video game matchup that we've all wanted, and they don't do anything with it. And then they had the other one where it just reminds us of like one of the worst WrestleMania moments ever. But let's go with that route. Like,
I mean, I can only assume that Sting and Undertaker was supposed to be WrestleMania 32. an injury prevented it.
Yeah.
And my guess is they already had that, like, but they already had that dream, and by they, I pretty much mean Vince, already had that dream of, we will break the record at 32, we have the stadium to do it in, so we need to save the dream of dream matches for 32, so we'll let them go do these weird things at 31.
But that doesn't explain why they broke the streak at 30 then.
I mean, I don't know.
because here's the thing, like...
They didn't have Sting yet?
Sure. So, but a part of me is like still doesn't. I don't understand why they just go ahead and didn't pull that trigger at 31. You know, because if Sting was going to lose to Triple H anyway, if he's going to lose that match, why not have it up against Undertaker? You know, because I understand like the imagery of it, like the WWE company guy like. Beating Sting,
the argument,
WCW company guy, like you could have done that same exact thing with Undertaker.
The argument,
he's a company guy,
and I'm speculating on the argument.
Oh sure.
And I disagree with the argument, but just for devil's advocate's sake, you already know where WrestleMania 32 is going to be. You know venue. You know you already have in your head. This is where we're breaking the WrestleMania 3 record.
Right.
So
part of that would be this match that we've always wanted.
Yes, okay. So this,
I understand.
We're saving this dreamest of dream matches.
I understand.
So which is why, because they both had weird, awkward. For no reason, matches at 31.
Right.
And it felt like they both appeared on the 31 card, because they kind of had to.
Right.
It
might have been a little bit more of a sentimental moment for Sting.
Oh, yeah.
But Undertaker, definitely, absolutely was like, I'm contractually obligated to be at this WrestleMania.
It felt like they were saving all of this
for 32. They were putting all their eggs in the 32 basket.
And all fell out.
And they all fell out with one ring post bump with Seth Rollins.
Well, I mean, like, the Sting egg and the Rock insurance egg and the John Cena, like, 32 in their
whole life. Yeah.
We'll do a bunch of stuff. We'll do none of the stuff.
Yeah.
I do agree with them that Brock has been built forever for somebody to take him out.
And I feel like they've already missed that.
I do too. That's
clearly in WWE's eyes. I'm not saying like it's the rightful thing. Clearly in WWE's eyes, that was supposed to be WrestleMania 31 with Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had picked Roman to be that guy. Fans said otherwise. And rightfully so. You know, I'm not saying like fans were wrong to do that. Now clearly they missed what they intended with Roman.
But
and now they have no idea.
Well, now you have this giant shining trophy on the hill, you know, brass ring to grab.
Okay. For a second I thought you were gonna talk about Dugan Stugan.
No, you have Brock Lesnar, you have the defeat of Brock Lesnar, the guy that's going to do it, that's gonna beat him clean 1-2-3 and get all the mega push that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have anybody for it. Because it was Roman. Because it totally was.
Yeah, that's the one. 100%. That's the person they wanted.
Yeah, all the tracks were laid down. All the signs pointed to Roman. Everything was set up, and they had to.
Mm-hmm.
They had to.
It doesn't have to be. And we saw this with Undertaker and Brock at 30. We were all expecting it to be like a younger guy to break the streak, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was Brock, and honestly, it played out pretty well after the fact.
Yeah.
Like they. For a while, I'm not saying they still are, but for a while, they booked Brock incredibly well after that.
Well, you took all of the feather in a capness of breaking the streak, and you, in one moment, transferred it to the defeat of Brock Lesnar.
Right.
So you can take all that prestige and dangle it in front of people on the show a lot more.
Right.
Because Brock... Honestly, because Brock can still go. Brock is impressive.
Right.
Because part of the thing with The Undertaker is, while there was still a big deal about the streak, there's big prestige, there was starting to feel this feels like, can Undertaker still go this year?
Right.
It's been a whole nother year.
Yeah.
There's been like a little bit of Undertaker. There's always Undertaker health issue stories.
Sure.
Like, you know, and there's like still struggling from last WrestleMania. And you're like, you mean WrestleMania 27?
Yeah, right. Because now there's stories of, like, people, like, taking photos with Undertaker and he's got, like, crutches. Mm-hmm. That's the thing now.
Yeah.
So, but it's – yeah, you're right. It's always something. So So, like the point I was trying to make is that it doesn't have to be, like, this young up-and-comer that may or may not pay off, you know, in the long run. It can be, like the Trash Ring Tiger guy says, it can be to establish in the WWE main roster Joe or Nakamura. Like, that could be their mm-hmm. feat that introduces them to this bigger audience. And I would love that for either guy, you know? So, I mean, honestly, like, when I think about the hugeness of the Raw or the WWE roster, those are probably the only two names that I can come up with right now that would benefit and could handle it, you know, going forward beyond that, mm-hmm. you know, because you've got Nakamura, who's just this weird, wonderful enigma, and you got Joe, who's just a monster, almost just like Brock Lesnar, yeah. you know?
There are a lot of people who I will, if they are the one to take the crown of beating Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. I will sleep on, like, those two guys, obviously, but Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, yeah. Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, like, I mean, is still in my, you know, steering my dream boat.
Fair enough.
And, like, yeah, there are plenty of names where I'm like, yeah, that would be a great person. Mm. But
I would still love to see a Kevin Owens Brock Lesnar match.
But WWE doesn't have something in mind anymore.
Oh, sure, yeah.
As soon as Roman
didn't
become a viable option, it's mm-hmm. like, well, we don't know then.
Right.
And so we are...
So until that day comes, it's just like the Trash Ring It's like what the Trash Ring Entire guys were saying. It's like every opponent now is just becoming, oh, this is going to be a new notch mm-hmm. for Brock Lesnar.
And
that very well may be Goldberg. Like, it could be like, well, just this one match. Or shenanigans happen and he gets that match at WrestleMania. I don't know.
It feels like they're stalling for time until yeah. all the ducks are in a row. And Brock still has to face, like, four guys a year or whatever. You know, the big shows. Yeah. You still have to truck out Brock and he's still got to face somebody.
Right.
So now it's the random top tier guys. So mm-hmm. you have Big Show and Randy. The guy that stands and is like, well, I'd like to take a swing at it, boss. Give him a shot.
Or a random Kofi Kingston in Japan.
Yeah, and to me,
mm-hmm.
there's diminishing returns on this.
Yeah,
Brock is becoming less and less of the big fight guy,
mm-hmm.
and more and more of like the necessary contractually obligated fight guy that I have to sit through.
Yeah, because that's definitely how I was feeling with Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I figured if anybody could have a decent match with Brock, surely it would be Randy, you know. Storyline might not have been great or anything at all, but surely, like, Randy Orton with, you know, being such an, you know, amazing in-ring talent, surely he could put together a decent match. Nope, he just got, you know, his head beat in.
And think about, what was the last Brock match you were excited to see? Where it was like your top one or two matches on the card as far as anticipation goes.
Whether or not it actually paid off?
Whether or not it actually paid off would be Dean.
Dean.
And that Brock. Was because there was the feel of like, this is when they'll pull the trigger.
Like, Dean is crazy. They might kill each other. Like, you know, they had that feel to it. Clearly it didn't come close to being anywhere near the hype.
And
not necessarily Dean or Brock's fault. It was mostly due to like being done at whatnot. 9 minutes.
I think some of the excitement for that was this feeling of like, oh, it wasn't going to be Roman, so this might be the time. This might be the guy that they are dubbing the defeater of the beast.
Especially with how well they were booking Dean leading up like to Roadblock and everything, you know?
Yeah. But then that's, no.
Like, yeah, right, yeah. Just kind of pulled everything out from under
the didn't pull the trigger on that, and on top of not pulling the trigger on that, short match, sloppy match, uninteresting match.
It's kind of like how like WrestleMania 32 felt like the perfect time for Sasha Banks to win her first championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the debut of this women's championship. And then, you know, at the same show, it felt like this would be the perfect time for Dean to you know, conquer Brock Lesnar and use that to ride his own momentum to,
like, or
you know,
for whatever. Anybody to conquer Brock Lesnar. And it looked like, oh, they selected Dean. Great. I'm happy with this.
Sure.
They seem to be happy with this. Let's watch Dean.
Because, you know, he's crazy enough
to be propelled. It makes sense story-wise. It makes sense booking-wise. Let's all enjoy Dean being propelled into definitely top-tier main event status. Oh, no? Okay, sorry.
No, it's just
my mistake.
Brock with a fly swatter.
9 minutes of doofy banter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, while I get where they're coming from, in summation, I get where they're coming from, and I don't think they're wrong on a lot of things, this twiddling your thumbs is killing the Brock Lesnar status.
Right.
And we have seen people given great things and nothing coming of it because of bad booking, or because of, well, somebody's got to do it. I guess this will happen. Right. You think of every monster build of the past 5 years, except for Rusev. Rusev was, we are clearly building to this moment at WrestleMania where John Cena takes back the title.
Mm-hmm.
And for better or for worse, how you feel about that was a pointed and intentional attempt at building the U.S. title as a legitimate title again.
Yeah.
But other than that one, can you remember how any monster build ended? Do you remember the first guy to defeat Ryback or Brodus Clay or any of these guys?
No. I have no idea.
Because there's...
It might have... Well, for Ryback, it might have been, like, CM Punk or something.
Yeah, maybe. Because
Monster Build kind of fed straight into that weird little feud that they had.
But...
The first time. But even that was always, you know, with, you know, a low blow or Shield interrupting.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know when Ryback won, lost clean the first time. You don't know who the first person was to...
It might have been...
quote-unquote defeat that monster.
It might have been one of, like, the many, like, three-on-three matches. I don't know if Ryback ever got pinned on any of those against Shield, but...
Yeah.
It was more than likely during one of those. Or it might have been whenever Mark Henry fell on top of him at WrestleMania 29 and pinned him. Who knows? Still, not a ringing endorsement of the monster build.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I find offensive that the Trash of Ring Attire guys think that WWE can win us over just with sad music, with the whole Batista thing. I was feeling a little bad for Batista before the whole documentary came out where he was, like, kind of disappointed with how the fans were, like, reacting to him. Because it wasn't really his fault, especially when we found out more about, like, you know, he was kind of out there, like, following orders, not necessarily, like, agreeing with how they brought him in. Mm-hmm. And that initial thing. And, like, because the only thing Batista really did wrong was that he wasn't Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, Daniel Bryan, he had that giant wave of momentum and absolutely should have been the guy at that point in time, going into WrestleMania 30. And, you know, so it takes more than sad music. It's one of those things where it's like, these fans are crapping on this guy. We know it's not really his fault, you know?
And let me add to that. So he comes back at a time where he has finished shooting Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Like, we haven't seen it yet as a population.
Right.
But he's read the script. He's been in the movie. He's seen a rough cut of the movie.
Right.
He knows what Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has, though he's not shot it yet, he has a contract for being the next pretty big James Bond villain.
Yeah.
And that's after Skyfall. So James Bond's the hottest James Bond's been in years.
Right.
Batista has left WWE and has all but made it as a successful Hollywood action star. He is, you know, like, he is...
On the verge of it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, basically the ink hasn't dried on it yet, but he has done all the steps. We just have to let the machine finish rolling. He comes back to wrestling.
Yeah.
Almost as a favor to the company.
Yeah.
And us, the fans. To be like, yeah, let's do one last full wrestling swing. Comes back, wholeheartedly, full-time, wrestles house shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe he was wrestling house shows, too. Which, you know, a lot of these big money deals definitely do not include house shows.
So, yeah, I 100% feel bad for him the way that all shook out. I feel bad for us, too.
Batista's doing just fine.
We were also denied the very logical Daniel Bryan thing and had to fight for it. So,
and I know, like, we very much were, you know, crapping all over the whole Batista thing at the time as well. So I'm not trying to say, like, oh, you know, we were the ones that saw things differently. Like, we weren't.
Well, I also, like...
It wasn't until, like, after the fact, the more we got into, like, Evolution's thing with the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, honestly, that was kind of when Batista was hitting his stride a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely, I liked what he did with WrestleMania 30. I liked what he did more than Randy in WrestleMania 30. And obviously, Daniel Bryan was the star and the guy that was, you know, carrying the load for all that. But I appreciate what he did at WrestleMania 30. And then, you know, with the Evolution, he found a stride. Because before that, the whole thing with Alberto Del Rio when he first came back, clearly he was, you know, still trying to find his wrestling legs from under him, you know?
Let me say, I can feel bad that we, the fans, were booing Batista and still think that was the right thing for us, the fans, to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do not regret anything that I don't regret, like, that's how it turned out.
That is not the only way, but one of the only ways that the fans can have the impact on the direction of the show that they theoretically should have as the consumer.
Right. And, you know, if aiming all of this anger and aggression at Batista is what did it, then we'll have to live with it.
Well, it's justify the means there, I'll say.
But, you know, if Batista were to come back one day, I don't see it happening, but if he were to do it, we should probably give him at least for one night, sorry, here's a good pun, you know, that kind of reaction, you know.
I can say I would cheer for Batista unless he wanted to be a heel, in which case I would respect it and boo him appropriately.
Oh, man. Oh, it would come out with a different color of, like, you know, gear, and we would have to try to, like, wrestle around to find a new pun. Like, I don't know if purple Batista would be a thing.
I don't know.
But that would be the best way to combat it. Is like, oh, you want to make jokes about blue Batista? Well, I'm dressing in red now. What are you going to do now?
All right, you want to do Hell in a Cell?
All right, we've got to do that.
Yeah.
We
had a nice little run of not having to predict or recap pay-per-views, but that's over now.
It is all over.
We are back in pay-per-view mode.
All right, so I believe this has been announced for the kickoff. Yes. We have a 6-man tag with 6 members of the Cruiserweight division.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think of that word for a second. We got Cedric Alexander, Lince Dorado, and Sin Cara versus Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Arya Davari.
And their teams?
Yes.
I'm cheering for Cedric Alexander's team, and I'm voting for that to win, because I like him.
I mean, I like Tony Nese. Drew Gulak's okay. And Davari, like, I haven't seen enough from him to, like, they haven't really given him enough time to really do anything. But those guys have basically been jobbers in the Cruiserweight division, so I'm going to say I feel good about Sin Cara winning a match now. But, yeah, the team good guys.
Yeah.
Why the good guys? Don't know. We move on to the actual show. We got Bayley versus Dana Brooke. Bayley. Yeah. I feel like that one's pretty obvious. I don't know how much longer they're going to keep Bayley out of the championship picture.
I feel like Bayley winning her first title at WrestleMania is a really pretty picture.
It is.
And a very possible thing to do here.
It is. And, you know, obviously the 5-on-5 women's thing helps, you know, kind of keep her away from that for right now.
Right.
So you got a month. And then maybe around Royal Rumble, we'll kind of start building a story at that point.
Yeah.
So not too much longer. So we're both saying Bayley on that one. Got a tag team match, Enzo and Big Cass versus Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson.
It's like both teams in this match, like, I sure wish they were doing better than they are.
Right.
They could both really use a win right here. Because, yeah. I like, as you were reading, I was like, oh, yeah, definitely I'm picking Enzo and Big Cass because they really need this to bolster them back up. And then,
but so does.
By the time you got to the end, I was like, oh.
Gallows and Anderson, yeah.
But that's really sad that that's just another beatdown of Gallows.
Because I'm liking, you know, clearly they made a huge misstep in the whole comedy bit that they did with New Day, the old day or whatever. But ever since then, like, the way they've righted the ship, like, immediately, like, no more comedy stuff at all for Gallows and Anderson. And honestly, it's worked incredibly well for them. I like the kind of no-nonsense kind of attitude because it fits their rest. Like, again, backstage, yeah, those guys are pretty hilarious. But
you were definitely saying to me, like, Gallows and Anderson came to WWE for this?
Right. That was especially with, like, when you got to the old day. That one specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that they've given them a more no-nonsense attitude.
They should be the top heel tag team on the show, if not in the company.
And I mean, you would be hard-pressed to say that they are, like, or to say that they're not, you know, because I don't know what Cesaro and Sheamus are supposed to be.
I don't know.
But they're the only ones that would come close just for the simple fact that they're against New Day. So, I would say that they are the top heel tag team on Raw.
But then you look at it and, like, that's your top heel tag team? Like, they're not as... Yes, they have cut back the... And by cut back, I mean cut out completely the comedy aspect of it. But they're still not established as viable threat.
Yeah. The comedy bit kind of took away the attack on leaving Dudley Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the effect that was supposed to have. You know, the fact that that's what kind of spawned their comedy bits.
Yeah.
You know, it all got kind of lost, so it's like they didn't even really get the rub from that. Especially since they've abandoned the comedy thing, rightfully so. I don't know. I'm going to say Enzo and Big Cass.
I am too.
Just because, you know.
But I don't feel good about it.
No, I don't either.
I wouldn't feel good about either one.
Yeah. But staying on the tag team train, we got the tag team championship, New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
New Day.
Yeah, like, do you want to end a historic tag team streak to two guys that were, you know, put together against their will, like, a few weeks ago?
You know? I mean, if I just forever, in these prediction things, pick New Day, it'll be like...
Okay.
20 points plus, and I will lose 1 point one time.
Sure.
Like, I'm just playing the odds here. I'm always going to pick New Day until New Day loses.
And the Trashy guys did touch on this. Do you think we're coming around the time to where they need to be doing something else? Like, as far as, like, breaking them up? Not even breaking up, or, like, everyone, like, just doing something different. Don't even have to have a breakup story. But I feel like they're a big enough entity that they would kind of need one.
I have said before... And I will stick by it for now, and I reserve the right to change my mind, but I have said before, like, this is something they should run into the ground.
Okay.
And
you don't feel like they've done that yet?
Mm-mm. They've not run into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, running something...
They've eased up on it lately.
Running something into the ground is a bad thing. Sure. You did too much, you tried too hard, you went too long, and now it sucks.
We came on the verge of that on Old Day, but that wasn't technically their fault, so...
Yeah. And I feel like so much good has come from New Day, and it's such an anomaly. And these guys will not get this again in their career.
Right.
WWE might not get anything close to this bizarrely successful this generation.
Right.
So I would milk every last possible thing.
I will say this. I'm ready for New Day to step beyond the tag team division.
I am fine if and when they lose the titles and they go and do something else.
Right. Like, still be a team.
If they're super in each other's corner.
That being said, I don't need to see Kofi Kingston win another mid-card belt.
Yeah. You know?
I'm ready for one of these guys to have a main push. Like, clearly it's going to be Kofi or Big E.
Mm-hmm.
More likely Big E. But I'm ready to see these guys on the main event. And again, like, you know, all these tournaments that they end up having for a vacant title or a number one contender, and no one from the New Day is in it, it's starting to feel kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think part of it comes from these guys seem to genuinely like each other as humans.
Sure.
As travel buddies, as, you know, they get along well, and it comes across in the ring.
Absolutely.
And I don't see a reason to break that up. A natural destruction of a tag team involves somebody betraying somebody else and turning heel. There's nobody there who I'm like, yeah, that's the natural heel move.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where I don't really want any of them to be heels.
Yeah.
But then again, like they could pull, I'm sure they could pull it off. Seeing like that brief moment in time when Kofi was a heel was super intriguing to me. It didn't last long, clearly, but it was just one of those things where I'd never seen it before.
But when you turn heel, are you still like New Day Fun Goofy, or are you? I mean, because these guys, even in their previous characters, were goofy fun,
right?
Like Big E came out intimidating his debut and lost it the second he, you know, opened his mouth and said words.
I got the mic now. Yeah, okay.
And so, like, these guys have always, in every iteration of all of their characters, have been some level of fun-loving, goofy, enjoyable, life-is-awesome kind of guy. So I don't know how to not see them as that at this point.
Fair enough.
Not that I want to deny they have the acting ability to pull off a different type of character, but it is so ingrained that I don't know how easy it will be to buy. But yeah, I can definitely, they don't need to be champions anymore. I'm happy for them to be champions. It's fun to watch. They don't need that anymore. They could absolutely be doing something else and putting that champion storyline in a tag team area that needs it.
Right.
Like Enzo and Big Cass versus, you know, Gallows and Anderson. That sure could use the prestige boost of some titles in it. Sure.
I don't know. Because they've been together for 2 years, I think. And it's just, like, you know, like, they need something. They need some sort of interesting feud. And, you know, they've gone through all the tag teams.
Yeah.
Even, like, the new ones that they bring in. Like, they've been through all of them, so.
If I were in charge, I would run it into the ground. I would keep these guys together until they were being booed again.
Right.
I'd sell every glowing unicorn horn that I could.
Right.
So.
That's
also like, if I were in charge of the business end, that's what I would do, because they have worked so well, so anomaly. I would, every single piece of rejected material, I'd be like, let's slap a New Day thing on it and see if they can sell it now.
Right. Fair enough. So I guess we can move on. We've got the Cruiserweight Championship. TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick. I'm saying TJ.
We had a really interesting thing where they had a backstage segment where Brian Kendrick came up to TJ and basically and flat out asked him to lay down and let him win.
Right.
He said, you're the better wrestler. I am not good enough, but I need this. I need you to let me win.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, like there wasn't any sort of like heel-ish aftermath after him saying
there's
that.
No threat.
No, it was just literally just, you know, let me win.
And that's like, I don't know the last time, if ever, I've seen that kind of approach.
Yeah.
I'm picking TJ Perkins. But that's a weird but really effective way. I'm invested in this match. I want to see where they go with this.
Just because of that?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So we're both saying TJ on that. And now we start into the triple main event.
Do you mean the make technically correct?
Make technically correct. So these internet fans will stop complaining that the women's match isn't going on last, no matter how much it probably should. Yeah. They're like it's like he came out with that, and they're WWE, like, apparently, I'm guessing it's just hadn't made up their minds still, and they're just kind of backtracking it and trying to retcon it as best as they can. Like, it's a triple main event, which sounds so dumb. And if they think it's a selling point now, it's very much not. Because there is no such thing as a co- or triple main event.
No.
No matter how much UFC or WWE tries to hammer that
home. What goes on last is your main event.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, I will happily acknowledge your main event match might not be your biggest draw match.
Right.
And I think, honestly, one of the best examples was UFC 200, where Brock was the biggest draw, but the title went on last.
Right.
And I was very impressed with that. Because John Jones was supposed to go on last, and, like, that whole thing.
Yeah, the people who were advertised to fight the match weren't even in that match.
Yeah, that whole fell to itty-bitty pieces.
And they held to it. They held to that being the main event.
And where you're like, all right, so this, your much smaller title match is still a title match. This is your main event for this show. All right, good job. Yeah. Solid, golf clap for you.
Right.
But there's one main event. It's the match that goes on last.
No. I guess we'll start with the one that we care about the least, and that's the U.S. Championship match. Does it really need to be in the Hell in a Cell? Like, it's more of like a, it's there, so might as well use it kind of thing. Like, yeah, I mean, because there hasn't really been, like,
at least,
like, maybe to keep Lana out? Like, that's really the only outside interference?
Yeah. At least there has been an extended feud here. That's the one thing that I can take solace in, is
that this isn't clearly the end of this feud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of the three main events,
none
of them are the first matchup between these two people.
Right.
Because we've had that, and that drives me up the wall. But it's like the first time they're meeting, like, oh, it's got to be in the cell. Right. You know that.
Right, yeah. And I'll agree with Q. Rusev has won me over.
Mm-hmm.
But I am ready for him to move on to something other than Roman.
Rusev won me over when he rode in on a tank. Who were you guys? Rusev came in on.
I don't like the bland, like, go my country, USA is the worst. Like, you know, that, I feel like, you know, we should be beyond that as viewers and as citizens. Clearly we're not, but we should, it feels icky, and I don't like it. But he's moved away from it, and now he's kind of won me over with his weird, quirky character that comes out, like, every once in a while, like him walking away with that TV monitor in his hands, you know? Like, like him on Twitter declaring himself the TV champion because he's got a TV monitor in his hand.
I mean, when we've gone from Bulgaria is the best, Russia is the best, to I'm the best, right, USA's the worst.
Fine.
I mean, it's a tiny pivot, but not an insubstantial pivot.
No. Like, it's a logical progression of that character. Fine.
Whereas I am good because I came from good genes.
Right.
But I am good. Yes. I am what is good about this.
Yes. I still don't like the camel clutch. My brain is completely blanking on this word I'm trying to, the modification into, you know, leaning back and everything looks way more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad that he doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, to make it feel a little bit special. So I can appreciate that. But I'm just ready for him to move on from Roman.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Roman's going to do after this. He's probably going to be in the 5-on-5.
Yeah, I assume so.
Because he's got to have Raw's 5 best.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Roman takes this.
Yeah, I'm assuming Roman wins the U.S. Championship.
I don't know how you get
that. Or he retains.
Yeah, I don't know how you get that title off of him. Like, I'm okay with him having it for a while. It's good for him. It's good for the title, too.
I guess. Cena did it better last year, but okay.
John Cena did it better. But it's not like Roman's gonna gotta do a lot more drugs and a lot much more rapid pace for us to not have him anymore.
Roman, I mean, he doesn't have to do a whole lot more drugs. He has to just fail one more test, and he's two strikes, and he's gone for 60 days.
Roman's not going anywhere.
Paige has set the example. Soon. It's not that difficult. But moving on from there, we've got the Women's Championship match, Sasha versus Charlotte. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair, because they've made it a point to always call her Charlotte Flair this past week, and it's weirding me out.
It's because Rick's coming back.
Yeah, it's probably. But they're in a cage. They're supposed to stop that.
My wish for the show, I want at least one of these matches to end without any interference.
Like, literally for what the cage was built yes. for, yeah.
With no...
I feel like out of all of them...
Like, you're having three. You're having three on one show. Just...
I feel like they're going to save most of the outlandish run-in shenanigans for the Universal Championship.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like Triple H is going to be coming back. Like, I feel like that's the main one. But the one where I think is least likely to have any sort of run-in is maybe Charlotte and Sasha, because they want to build this up as, you know, because that's what this feud apparently is built on now, is that we want to do stuff because it's revolutionary, not because we, you know, hate each other.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that and how
we've talked about that, and it's stupid, and it's still stupid. It continues to be stupid this week.
Yeah.
But I would like them to, and it's a middle ground, and I get it's a middle ground, that you can't go too far one way or the other. I would like them to have a match that's in the cage, and the cage effectively keeps it a one-on-one match. And at the same time, have a match that is punishing because the cage is there.
Right.
Far too often, since Hell in a Cell became a pay-per-view gimmick, we've had far too many matches that are just matches in the ring, and the cell happens around. And the cell does nothing but makes the camera inconvenient.
Right.
And
I'm really hoping that that's not the case with, you know, the first women's Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
Where it's a regular match with just a cage around it.
So they talk about and they build up this cage as such a punishing thing, this devil's playground terror thing that, like, you have people walk in and, like, breathe heavily before because they're about to be locked in this cage, and oh man.
Mm.
And then a little match, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
So I need some cage used as the weapon, some punishment thanks to the cell being there.
Right.
Make it a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, like,
this is a long-winded way of saying, make it a Hell in a Cell match. Why not do it if you're going to do it three times?
Yeah, I agree. So I'm saying Sasha.
Sasha Banks, please.
You're saying Sasha as well. I would like for Sasha to hold it until WrestleMania and going up against Bayley.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Then I could see that. If they make it to where it's a legit storyline and that people are interested in, then I could see them doing a main event, you know, at any show.
Probably not WrestleMania. This year. We're working on it. Not this year.
They're all about doing revolutionary stuff now, apparently.
Hope and dreaming, I'd be thrilled to see it.
Right.
I'm not going to hold my breath for it, but I'd be thrilled to see it.
Right. And again, like, I'm hoping they're doing it for storyline reasons and because it's a hot feud and not just because it's never been done before at WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah.
So,
if I were milking the whole thing, I would have the main event another show first, because that way I can milk two revolutionary things. I can do main event of a pay-per-view and main event of WrestleMania as two different things, rather than throw away all that big dealness on one match.
Here's where I slightly go back into my undertones of hating what WWE does in the month of October. I would like for them to have a women's match main event, one of their main shows, not in the month of October when they're doing this dumb partnership with a corrupt organization.
Yeah.
Because they did it with TakeOver last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that could... And that's one of the things where they just, like, the stars kind of, like, conveniently, like, lined up, where Bayley and Sasha could have main evented any show that they wanted.
Yeah.
In NXT. And it just happened, like, their next TakeOver special was in October.
Right.
And they tied that in. This one feels way more
scummy.
Yes. I'm not saying that Charlotte and Sasha Banks don't deserve it, because they do. And if you deserved it, had it been continuing what was going on like a month ago.
Yeah.
You know, a continuation of that feud and it reaching a point where they are trying to find a solution of how do we keep all these outside interferences out? Hell in a Cell makes sense. And instead we got do it because it's never been done before. We're doing it during the Susan G. Komen month.
Yeah. Well, there's additional frustration because they have all the perfect buildup to a natural Hell in a Cell match.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not even a situation where, you know, it's like, oh, these are our two big names and we should do it because of this. It's, oh, this feud has been going on. We've had constant interruption by multiple people.
Yeah.
This has been back and forth. We need to end this. There's only one way to end it.
Yeah.
Piano noise. Dun, dun, dun.
Nah, if WWE wants to make a real statement about how they're leveling the playing field for men and women, get fully invested in a women's feud and have them main event a show that's not in October.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm not convinced they're invested in this feud because of how crap it's been built leading up to Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
This month. Like, literally just this month.
Yeah.
It's been crap. And that tells me that they're not fully invested in this storyline as they should be because they deserve it.
Yeah.
You know? So if they want to show me that they are taking this seriously and they really are trying to revolutionize how the WWE audience views women's wrestling, go all in. Be willing to show us that they're willing to go all in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be Bayley and Sasha Banks main event at WrestleMania 33.
If Bayley and Sasha Banks main event WrestleMania 33, I will be thrilled.
I would too.
I mean, and I think if you have Sasha walk out of October as the champion and hold it till WrestleMania, you got plenty of time for her to kind of turn heel.
Yeah.
At probably around Royal Rumble time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's when she has to make a desperate thing to maintain her titleship. Mm-hmm. Gets defensive back. Like, there's a little.
And in that time,
there's 28 different things you can do that will all be fantastic.
Sure. And in that time, you know, because we can have multiple, you know, female storylines going on at the same time, you can start going ahead and pulling the trigger on Dana versus Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Clearly, Charlotte's going to be dominating that storyline, but it would help elevate Dana Brooke a little bit more because she's going to get crushed against Bayley.
Yeah.
As she should be, at least. So, you know, you've got that. And for the time being, because she's proven down in NXT she can handle big match situations, while she's still a face, go and had Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax.
Yeah.
You know, at least do that, like, going into around, like, the TLC around December.
Yeah, somebody's got to fight at TLC.
Right, and they've taken Nia Jax off TV,
mm-hmm.
but they've established her as, you know, a monster force in the women's division. So, maybe that's why they've taken her off TV for right now. So, it's one of those things where it's not directly in the back of our minds, but when she comes out, it'll be like, you know, a little bit of a pop for that.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. oh, crap.
Yeah.
That's just me, short-term booking, whatever, I don't know. Then we got to the main event. We kind of alluded to it before with Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. I still think that this is when Triple H comes in because he came in that one Raw, and we haven't seen him since. And, you know.
He was.
I feel like
he came in at the end of Night of Champions. Just be like, how was the show? Seth was like, right. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. But, it, like, just enough to kind of keep him in the back of our minds, but not to where we were, like, where WWE thinks he's on our radar. He totally is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is the point where he... Because this is clearly where we're going to lead up to
Seth. If we go past Survivor Series without a Triple H mention, it will feel like they forgot about him.
Yeah.
It will never feel like we forgot about him because we're rabid internet people who will, like...
I feel like we're going to find an answer to what Triple H was going to say to Shawn Michaels when he retired. We're going to find out because we're going to bring it up every freaking podcast.
Yeah. So we won't forget.
God, I thought of another one, and I forgot it. Like this week I remembered something interesting that happened where we didn't really get a satisfactory end to it. I'm blanking on it. Okay. I'm going to write it down next time I remember.
My point is, if you are waiting to bring back Triple H until we forget about it...
It's not going to happen.
You'll wait forever.
Yeah.
And it looks like you forgot about it. If you go past Survivor Series. Like, right now, no. All right, we're teasing. We're waiting for a big main event feel. I got it. We're going to go back and forth. I see
what you're doing. And, you know, you can also make an argument where, you know... Maybe Seth is in the 5-on-5 and Triple H... does something then, but that makes no sense because Triple H would be a Raw guy, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you need to do, and
plus they need Survivor Series matches that aren't like
I will say the
traditional Survivor Series
is looking crowded. You're having three matches, assuming they're all 5-on-5. We know they're all
I believe they're all 5-on-5, even the tag team.
Okay, we know they've said that they are traditional Survivor Series eliminations. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have five contestants in each of them.
I believe they said. I don't know. I could be wrong.
But that is, assuming they do, that is 10, 20, 30, 40 people in those matches. And that's not including any singles things. So you have your, you know, two main titles defended.
Yeah. And Survivor Series matches, like, are supposed to last a minute, you know?
Yeah.
If they're done right. Some of them, not so much, but still.
So... Survivor Series is looking pretty crowded.
Oh, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be like 4 hours.
Yeah, it's like I'm sensing another 4-hour pay-per-view. Yeah,
absolutely.
Here.
It's going to be a marathon.
So we got this.
Okay. So I'm saying
I'm going Kevin Owens retains the title.
Yes. I mean it's Hell in a Cell's no DQ, so it's not like if Triple H comes in and causes shenanigans that Seth Rollins wins but doesn't win the championship. Like we're not gonna have that situation.
Well, you have your perfect Triple H feud waiting for Seth Rollins, and you looks like you're having a you're lining up all the dominoes for your Chris Jericho Kevin Owens feud,
right?
That we're all gonna look forward to.
I feel like they're gonna pull that trigger at Survivor Series.
Okay.
I feel like Jericho and Owens are going to be on the same team, and then something happens to where one of them either accidentally or purposely causes an elimination of each other or something. Yep. And that will be the catalyst for the winter,
okay.
For the winter feud. So I don't really foresee that happening at Hell in a Cell. I more see Triple H coming and costing Seth Rollins. Kevin Owens gets the win. So you're saying the same?
I'm going Kevin Owens gets the win.
Cool. I'm mostly going to be trying to pay attention to Hell in a Cell, but Game 5 of the World Series with the Cubs. All right, the Cubs made the World Series, you guys. It's amazing. Hi. That's what's making me happy this week. I know we probably weren't going to have time for that segment, but I went ahead and put that in there anyway.
Because it's making you that happy.
It's going to be making me happy for a while.
All right.
Even if things, I'm not going to say.
Don't say it.
But even if things don't go as I would have liked in the World Series, I'm still going to be happy about this much.
All right. Anything else for you?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter where we live tweet. At times when live tweeting is appropriate.
Yeah.
One of those, which will be this Sunday at Hell in a Cell.
And the Cubs game. I might be tweeting both. Who knows? And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomattire@gmail.com. Also, like, you know, if you have additional thoughts on this whole Goldberg thing, this whole civil war between classy and trashy ring attires, send all that in.
It's a heated debate.
Heated debate, even though we're working together for a possible segment next week.
We're also on iTunes. We do the iTunes one. We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow. This I'm in the right spot,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to get the podcast every single week. You subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars. That sound is me banging my head against the microphone.
Or you can write a review. That kind of interaction helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening
to it. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Well, you threw tricky. Me off. You weren't sure about yourself, and that makes my self-confidence just plummet. Line. If you're listening to us on InsideBolts.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of projects we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.